at 6:01 p.m. Let's go around the table for roll call. I'm Chairperson Amanda Nedweski.
Dave Gertson here.
Tim Stocker.
Zach Stock.
Jeff Gans.
Ed Kubicki.
Monica Juhas.
You guys could all just sign that you're present and pass it around. All committee members are present. Citizens' comments. Are there any citizens' comments? Citizens' comments? Citizens' comments? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Next on the agenda is the chairperson's comments. So as several of us are new to the county board, I'd just like to take this opportunity for each of us to give a short personal introduction. Obviously, you know my name is Amanda Nedweski. I'm a lifelong resident of Kenosha County. I grew up in the city about a block from Nedweski Park near the Velodrome. And prior to moving to Pleasant Prairie in 2019, I lived in Summers for 14 years, so I've been everywhere east of the I. In 1998, I earned my BA in communication from Parkside. I worked downtown Chicago in a technology firm as a business intelligence consultant for a while, and then I ended up going into finance with Case New Holland and Racine, working for the CFO for a number of years. And currently I work as a business intelligence consultant again. My areas of expertise are economics, process improvement, increasing efficiencies, leveraging synergies, that kind of thing. And I hope to get to know everybody so that we can collectively capitalize on each other's experience and knowledge. So if we could just go around the table, let's start with Monica. A little bit of background about you.
I'm born and bred in Kenosha. Ed?
I'm Ed Kubicki, born and raised on Kenosha's north side. I went to Grant pre-K, St. Casimir's grade school, St. Joe's High School. I graduated from Parkside, liberal arts degree. I was a paramedic firefighter for 30 years in the city of Highland Park, Illinois. I retired and got back into the workforce, Kemper Center, executive director for the past 4 years, and I've been on the county board 17 years.
Thanks.
That's about it.
I went to St. Casimir too.
Oh, good. Yeah, I went to school with Dennis. I told you that.
Mr. Gens?
Who'd you go to school with?
Her uncle, Dennis. Dennis Nedweski.
Yeah. Jeff Gantz, live on the south side.
Anything else you want to share? Anything else you want to share?
No.
Okay.
I'm good. Thanks.
I'm Zach Stock, District 11. Family's been moved here. Born in a military family. I was born in England. My brother was born in North Dakota, and we settled here in 99 and basically grew up here in Kenosha. Started my lawn care company inside the Forest Park neighborhood. Have grown that business over the years and took an opportunity this last election to run for the seat, and very excited to see the value that I'll be able to bring to the county in this position.
My name's Tim Stocker. I was born in Zion, Illinois. Was smart enough to move up to Kenosha 36 years ago and haven't left and enjoy it here. I've worked at Abbott Laboratories and for GE Healthcare, where I assisted in investigations into products and process situations.
I'm Dave Gertson. Most of you know me. I worked here 33 years. And I was born in Racine, first generation on my dad's side. They immigrated from the Netherlands. I got a degree in accounting from Parkside. Started out in cost accounting, then auditing. Then I took a couple different jobs here at Kenosha, ultimately became the CFO. I also served on dozens of different things. I was a trustee on the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. I was a trustee at the Village of Summers. And I've been retired for about a year, so now my retirement's done. So back to work. So.
Thanks. Thank you, Supervisor. Are there any other comments from committee members?
I would like Director Jansen to, at our next meeting, provide us with an opioid and a fentanyl update, along with an update on the opioid task force and any prevention methods that we're using. Read this article in the paper. It was interesting. I'd like to hear about those test strips and other things. So if you could provide that information to the board at the next meeting, I'd greatly appreciate it. That's all I have.
Thank you. Are there any comments from supervisors in attendance? Supervisor Bashaw?
Nope, thank you for allowing me.
We have no one here from Youth and Governance. Okay. Item number four on the agenda is the approval of the Human Services Committee meeting minutes from April 6th, 2022. Though I did not attend that meeting in person, I did listen to the audio recording of the meeting, and I found the minutes to be accurate. Is there a motion to approve these minutes?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Stocker. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Gertsen. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next is the approval of the minutes from the Joint Human Services Finance and Administration meeting that was held on April 6th, 2022. Again, I listened to the meeting recording and found it to accurately reflect what took place on the recording, or the minutes are accurately reflecting what took place on the recording. Is there a motion to approve these minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next on the agenda, Director John Jansen will provide us with an overview of the Kenosha County Department of Human Services. If you could just give us a quick note on your background.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The org chart did go out, so I don't know if anybody needs a copy. I have them here. You probably didn't see it. There you go. My name is John Jansen. I'm the director of the Department of Human Services. For those of you who don't know me, I was hired by Kenosha County back in 1989. Originally started out as a social worker in the court services unit. That's the unit that is responsible for supervising kids that get in trouble with the law, so delinquent youth. I did that for 3 years, then went to work for the county as a contract provider for a federal grant they got that was providing in-home services to youth in their families who had addiction issues. After about a year and a half of that, I rejoined the county as a supervisor in the Child Welfare Ongoing Unit. That's the unit that oversees cases that go through the court process where families have been found to have either abused or neglected their children. So I did that for a number of years and also was supervising the court services unit, which is that delinquency unit I mentioned, until 2000. At that time, I became the director of the Division of Children and Family Services. Did that for 8 years, and in 2008 was appointed the department head. So I've held this position since 2008. Just educationally, I have a master's in social work from the University of Iowa. Any Hawkeye fans? No?
No.
And certainly we have differences in football opinion when it comes to professional teams. I'm a Bears fan. Okay, I'll get that out right now. Don't hold it against me or feel sorry for me, maybe. And chills, yeah. So that's a little bit of... Yeah, she's a Bears
fan. Why am I sitting here? You know, that should be disclosed before the
before
meeting.
Before you sit down? Yeah. So I thought, since there's some new folks on the county board and certainly on this committee, and also just kind of for a quick review of what human services is, I put together the org chart. So if you'd like to have a copy, I can send them down. Just to pass them out. So this is the management team and folks below them that are also in the management world. So we can start out with Nina Taylor, who's our Director of Workforce Development. Nina happens to be here this evening. She's right there. Nina oversees our economic support programs, child support programs, and the services that are all offered underneath there. As we had talked through email, Supervisor Nedweski, I know you had wanted to meet folks and get more information from them. Mm-hmm. Certainly we can make that a part of presentations at future meetings, yep, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, we'll kind of work through everybody over the next few meetings.
Okay. Also under Human Services is our Division of Aging, Disability, and Behavioral Health Services, Rebecca Dutter, who happens also to be here tonight because she's going to be presenting after this. And Rebecca oversees all the aging services, of which include the ADRC and also APS, Adult Protective Services, for adults that are calls that we receive where maybe there's some questions about abuse, neglect, things along that line, and our behavioral health programs in the adult world. So we'll be talking a lot about that. In fact, tonight, the next presentation focuses on things we've been doing in that world. Patrice Hall, Patty Hall, is our medical examiner. She also reports to me. Patty is located actually over here in the public safety building. If you're familiar with where the fleet used to have their garages in public safety, that's where Patty's offices are now. So both Nina and Rebecca and everybody else you see on this list, with the exception, of course, of Brookside, is all in the Human Services Building on 8600 Sheridan Road, which I know a few of you toured health recently. Doug Bartz, who oversees workforce development, and that's federal programs, Workforce Innovation Opportunities Act, WIOA, it's for dislocated workers and youth, are the main focuses there, and that's a tri-county endeavor. So that includes Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth counties. They have a separate board that they report to that provides direction and intervention for them. So it's monies that we share with all three counties. We are the fiscal agent of that WIOA money. But there's a formula on how that gets divided based on your workforce and needs. You'd also get notification from companies that are closing, where there's layoffs of more than 50 people. We would then send out teams to meet with those workers and try to get them located into other employment. Next is Ron Rogers, who's our director of the Division of Children and Family Services, and that's a group that takes care of our kids where there's been abuse and neglect, and also delinquency and truancy. And he oversees those, plus our special needs program, so kids that are on the waiver due to maybe be on the autism spectrum or things along that line. So we have a lot of services available there for them. Tammy Capito is our chief financial officer. Supervisor Nedweski had mentioned a financial report that we were due in the past, a quarterly report. We'll bring that to the next meeting. Mm-hmm. You'll meet Tammy at that time to provide information on where we are, at least through the first quarter of this year, with our budget. Ali Nelson is our Director of Veteran Services, and he has been in that role for several years now and provides outreach both, of course, here in the county or in the city, but also out in the county. He has locations where he meets our available to over 13,000 vets in our area. Jen Freiheit, who is our Director of Public Health, they run both the clinic operations, environmental health, which does restaurant inspections, weights and measurements, and then we also have a lab that does work both for clients that we have court ordered to drop your analysis, and also for law enforcement running tests when they obtain substances and try to figure out what they are. And then last but not least is Linda Badala, who's our administrator over at Brookside Care Center. Brookside does report to me now. In the past, it had a reporting relationship straight to the county exec. That has been changed. And that also includes Willowbrook, the assisted living facility. So I believe you reached out to her, too, and are looking to get a tour in the near future.
And we met with Sam. She told us about the change.
Okay, great. So that's a quick overview of what Human Services is. There's a lot of things going on in our building. If there's a passion or a program of interest that you would like us to bring forward and discuss, we'd be happy to do that. Certainly, as our governing body, you would get all of our resolutions, meaning that if we get new dollars on grant programming or other things that pop up throughout the year, we'd be in front of this committee for those. But like I said, if there's programs of interest that you would like to hear about, let me know and we'll get them on board, and I'll work with Supervisor Nedweski to get those on the agenda. So any questions on Human Services?
Just let me know if you want to see something on the agenda.
For the next agenda, through the chair to John, you mentioned Tammy's going to come in at the next meeting.
Yes.
So when she comes in, she'll present the quarterly report that we normally, traditionally we see.
Correct.
Can you also ask her to walk us through the food contract from Brookside?
The Unidyne contract?
Unidyne.
Yeah.
It's a five-year contract.
Yep.
So, she can walk us through that and add that to the list.
Okay.
And that concludes my appeal before.
Will do.
Anyone else? No more questions? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Next on the agenda, we have Rebecca Dutter is going to provide background and an update on Lake Behavioral Health.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome.
Thank you. So before I talk a little bit about Lake Behavioral Health, I sort of have to give you an update on why we would use Lake Behavioral Health and where that falls into the mental health system. So Supervisors Berg and Gentz know a lot about Lake Behavioral. They had an opportunity to tour the facility with us, so they can probably add some things into this. But before I do that, I need to back up and explain why we would use Lake Behavioral Health. So we, in Wisconsin, there's something called the Chapter 51 detention. And that detention is a process in which when a person meets one of four standards, they can be detained by law enforcement for mental health reasons. So the first standard is someone who is homicidal or suicidal, and they have to have very specific ideations about their homicidal or suicidal nature. The third standard, one we don't often use, is the impaired judgment. That would be if we have somebody that's not taking their prescribed medications and they are just not doing well in the community. And then we have also the fourth standard, which is imminent death or serious harm because they're unable to meet life's basic needs. So again, those oftentimes are folks that are having issues with substance abuse, or they're having issues with pretty severe and persistent mental health issues that they no longer are able to survive in our society without some assistance. So what happens when a person is detained under any of those situations is they have a probable cause hearing. So law enforcement and adult crisis have to agree on the detention, meaning that both sides have indicated that this person meets the standards and that the standards will hold up in a court of law. So once they're detained, they're brought before the court in a probable cause hearing 72 hours later to determine what the disposition is going to be, whether or not they're a fit subject for detention, or whether or not this is someone that we can do something like a settlement agreement on, where we can say, okay, you agree to take your medications, we agree to follow up with you, or they can actually fall under an order for up to 6 months. That doesn't mean that they're institutionalized for 6 months. I think there's that, people think that in our community, and that's not really true. Why we would use Lake Behavioral Health is when someone is detained, they're brought to the hospital, local hospital, where they have to be medically cleared. So if they have something that's medical that's been causing this problem, we want to rule that out before we actually take someone into custody. You know, we don't want to be taking someone into custody if we don't have to. Once they're cleared, then the hospital staff attempts to locate placement for them. That is going to be based on insurance, if they have an insurance that's going to pay at Aurora, or if it's going to pay at another facility, or if they present in a fashion in which a facility will take them. We have contracts and we have lots and lots of processes with all sorts of different places, Rogers, St. Luke's Ascension, St. Luke's South Shores. I mean, there's a variety of different places. Oftentimes, the most unwell in our community aren't going to be accepted at those facilities because they can kind of pick and choose who they can take. So when someone doesn't have a place for them to go, we end up in our current system having them have to go to Winnebago Mental Health Institute, which is 2.5 hours away. So problematic for everyone in that law enforcement has to take two officers off the road to take an individual up there. So you're talking about a 4 hour or 6 hour round trip, depending on how long they stay up there. And then, you know, they're so far away that it's really hard to do good planning with an individual. It's hard to get their family involved. It's hard to arrange services. It's hard to even know how they're presenting so that when they do come out of the institute, we're able to prevent them from having to ever go back in again. So Lake Behavioral Health came up as an option for us a year ago, when Lake is actually in Waukegan, Illinois. And the reason why it became an option for us just recently is because Illinois changed their law, thankfully. So prior to all of this, we were not able to send people over the border. So there were no ability for law enforcement to transport, and there was no ability for a person who was detained in Wisconsin to be treated in Illinois on an involuntary basis. They certainly could go on a voluntary basis, but not involuntary. So Illinois changed their law about a year ago, and since then, we've been in process of trying to get a contract with Lake so that we could have people go there instead of having to go to Winnebago. So again, these are folks that are probably the most unwell, where other facilities in Wisconsin aren't going to be willing to accept them. there have been some hiccups, and they're hiccups that we knew we were going to have down the road. This is, we are the first county that has ever tried to do a contract with an out-of-state facility. So although there are many other border counties, for some reason we're the only ones going through this process. We have to, first of all, we had to get an acceptable contract between Lake and us, and that has taken about 6 months because our corporation counsel and Lake's attorneys who are out of this New York City have been kind of going back and forth. We finally, I'm pleased to report, have our final contract in place with them. It's expected to be signed by Lake either the end of this week or the beginning of next week. From there, this contract actually has to be approved by the state of Wisconsin's Department of Human Services. So we have done work with them. They were involved at the beginning stages of this, and unfortunately, the attorney on their end that started this process with us 2 years ago has retired. So I'm afraid we're going to have to start all over again a little bit with them. And then once it's accepted by them, it has to go through the state's Department of Justice. They have to give law enforcement the ability to do mutual aid agreements with all of the receiving, all of the cities and municipalities that they will have to drive through to get to Lake Behavioral Health. So this has been a long and lengthy process, and the reason why it's imperative that we keep moving on this is for a variety of different reasons. First of all, it makes complete financial sense for the county to do this. Number one, their daily rate we expect to be less than what we're paying for Winnebago. Number two, it's 15 minutes for law enforcement versus, you know, the 2.5 to how many hours it can be. So there's a significant savings. And lastly, I think for us too, we will be able to, as a division, do a far better job of working with these individuals, seeing them, getting them enrolled in programs before they actually discharge from the facility, because we can actually go see them and ensure that they're getting the proper care that we want to see when they come. So I know Supervisor Gentz and Supervisor Berg have asked for updates on this. We are still, fingers crossed, hoping that by the fall we have this all together. We have lots of people in the legislative body that have been willing to help us once the contract gets officially signed, you know, helping us get this through DHS and getting it through the Department of Justice. And so I will certainly keep you guys posted as well, because we might need all the help that we can get moving this quickly as we can, so we can start doing the right thing by these people that we're serving.
Thank you for that. I have a question. Sure. What is the capacity there at Lake Behavioral Health?
They are a 120-bed facility. However, they have specific departments. So they have a youth, they have a geriatric, they have a substance abuse. They have, you know, again, for those that have serious and persistent, there's a rather large unit. The one thing that I found when we toured very interesting about it, and they explained it to me at the end, which I thought was great, was all of their units look exactly the same. So you don't know what unit you're actually on when you're there, which I think is a really good way to treat people. We're not going to make you look different than everyone else. We're going to have you look the same here. They expect to be able to be at capacity at some point in time. Now, they are open to the state of Illinois, so Illinois continues to use them. Will they be able to take all of our detentions? Probably not, but I do believe that they will be able to take the lion's share. Right now, they are actually working with both Brainerd and Aurora on taking some voluntary folks, which has also kind of created its share of problems, but we've been able to solve that via the use of iPads in the emergency room to be able to connect doctor to doctor so that we can have voluntary folks go down to Waukegan. And so far, so good. So far, the system has been working well. We are committed to ensure that the same care that they would get at Winnebago in Wisconsin, they're going to get at Lake Behavioral Health in Illinois. So myself, as well as Carrie Foss, who's the behavioral health manager, will make sure that we are down there on a regular basis, talking to people, doing surveys when they leave, just to make sure that the care is exactly the same. But again, they are all JCO certified, so they're all bound by the same Joint Commission accreditation.
You mentioned that aside from the attorney who retired at DHS, or part of DHS, what other hurdles do you foresee that you might encounter?
I think just that, and then Department of Justice. Again, because this is the first time, I don't know that we can anticipate problems, but I think we can anticipate a lot of questions. Just because no one else no other county has attempted to do this before. So I think it can just be, we probably will have to spend a great deal of time explaining why we want this to happen. I think once that's done, then our own corporation counsel will work with the sheriff's department to get the first mutual aid agreement in place. Then the rest of the municipalities, the village, and the other municipalities can follow with their mutual aid agreements, so they don't have to start from scratch. And corporation counsel has been at the table since the beginning of this as well, so they're already working on draft provisions for the mutual aid agreements.
What happens when you don't have a place for one of these people to go?
Winnebago's
full and they can't take it.
Well, it's interesting. Winnebago has never been full except in COVID. When COVID came, they did not have the capacity. It was a staffing issue. It was the being able to, you know, keep people safe from each other. So people sat in emergency rooms because there just is no other place for folks to go when every other facility has basically passed on them, which is not a nice thing to say, but it's the reality.
So do they eventually get admitted then to the hospital, or
No.
Just sit there?
They sit there. The longest that we've had somebody sit is 36 hours.
What happens after 36 hours?
We were able to find a location for them at Winnebago. So, yeah.
They never just say, sorry, we can't help you?
They technically can't say sorry. They can say we're full, but they can't say we're not willing to take someone. They have to take everybody.
And there are no alternatives besides Winnebago in-state?
There's Mendota, which is also a state institute. However, Mendota is not a general population. They only take forensic units, which are folks that have been found. They're in the process of a criminal proceeding, and they're there to determine whether or not they're competent to stand trial. So unfortunately, Mendota is full rather often, so finding beds at Mendota has not been an option for us. They do have a geriatric unit at Mendota, so oftentimes we are sending those folks, if we can, over to Mendota, but that's kind of few and far between.
Just so the committee's aware, and I know the supervisors have been on for a while and know this, but Kenosha does not have any inpatient hospitalization when it comes to behavioral health. So that's why we're up in Mendota. That's why if occasionally we can get into the Racine one, but that is few and far between. And the other private hospitals certainly have criteria. And generally when it comes to the severe and persistently mentally ill, they aren't working with them. That's where they end up in Winnebago, which is where it costs, $1,154 a day, I think, is what we're spending when we go there.
It's close to $1,300 a day.
It's close to $13 now.
I can kind of give you some stats just to help you kind of get where we're at. So I started as the director in 2020, and it was one of my big things to start looking at this process because I've been with the county for many, many years, and it was always... I always thought like maybe there was another alternative. So in 2016, we had 246 detentions. In 2017, we had 367. 2021, we had 252. So we've significantly gone down, and a lot of that is due to the diligence of a lot of our workers deferring people. So we have a care center, which is a CBRF, a community-based residential facility that's up to 16 beds that Kenosha Human Development Services, I'm trying not to talk in acronyms, so I apologize, runs, where it's kind of our deferral area. So if law enforcement in crisis is working with a person who really does need help, but they don't need the level of going to an institute, they can stay at our care center while they stabilize. So that has taken a lot of these folks that normally would have gone to the institute. We've been able to kind of bring them and keep them more local. But just to kind of give you an idea of the 252 from 2021, 15 of them went to Aurora facilities. So Aurora has a few facilities. Mendota, we had one. Rogers, we had 16. St. Luke's Ascension, so that's the Racine, it had 16. Winnebago had 202. And then we had two that were placed at other facilities, and those were Watertown, which has a geriatric psychiatric facility, and Stoughton, which has a geriatric facility. So as you can see, the bulk does go to Winnebago, unfortunately.
Any other questions?
I'll just make a statement as my board manager. I just want to thank you and your team for doing your due diligence to not only help these people, but as a cost savings to the county.
Yeah.
And thank you for doing that. Just hope you can follow through with this with the state and everybody else getting on board. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Of the 240 some odd that you had, say, went to Winnebago, how many were juvenile hospitals?
These are only adult numbers.
Only adults.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't track the juvenile numbers.
And when they're there, you had mentioned earlier that anywhere from 4 to 6 hours for our deputies to drive them there and back. Of them that are, of the folks that are there, how often do they have court cases that they have to come back for?
They have to have a probable cause within 72 hours, and the person has the right to have that in person. So if they do request an in person, then the deputies have to go up and get them and bring them back.
Which is another force of
that. Absolutely. They can do it with video technology, but again, it's the client's right to come in person. And I would say a quarter of them ask for that at some point in time. Then if they're there for a while, they don't really have a lot of court proceedings until the next court hearing, which is usually, you know, less than 30 days out. Most people don't stay at Winnebago that long. At least that's our hope, is that nobody stays there that long. So that would be really the only travel time for our deputies and our officers.
And earlier you were talking about the contract. Have we been able to work with DHS and the Department of Justice in terms of, hey, this is where we're at right now?
Yeah.
Can you give us any feedback so that when we do come with you with the final draft, you know, it's a lot easier going through?
Right. We did with the Department of Human Services. Our corporation counsel worked with one of their attorneys to actually mold the contract since it was kind of unique. They worked together collaboratively. Unfortunately, that attorney retired. So, you know, whether or not there's the next person that was passed on this information, we're not 100% certain, but there is someone assigned at that level to assist with us. Yes.
Still built on their policies and procedures and legislative.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Awesome. Yes.
That's all.
What will the criteria be as far as deciding should this everything get set up with this with Lake, where the individual goes? Would the default be Lake, and then if they're full, then send them, or do you take it on a case-by-case basis to determine where the person would go?
Right. So the Institute's always going to be the last attempt. So Lake, even Winnebago, Mendota are always going to be our last attempt. We would like them to go to one of the other facilities because usually their insurance will help cover a portion of that. When they go to what's called an IMD, which is an institute for
mental disease.
I know, I can't, it bugs me to even say those words. But anyways, an institute for mental disease, the county has to pay the majority of that tab. So Medicaid, which a lot of our folks are on, doesn't cover in a facility from 22 to 64. So we pay the full cost of that. Now, if they can go to a facility that is accepts their insurance, certainly the county doesn't incur as much cost. So we're going to always try those other facilities first. Unfortunately, we have very limited options because of staffing problems, but also a lot of times the folks that are being detained are extremely severe in their presentation. So these are folks that are dangerous or they're actively hallucinating, and facilities can kind of pick and choose who they want, which is, I mean, sad, but it's where we're at. So yes, the default will end up being Lake, and if Lake can't, then it will be Winnebago.
Any other questions?
How many of these people that use this system are repeat?
I'd like to tell you a specific number. However, I don't have that number off the top of my head. Okay. I certainly will get that for you for our next meeting. We meet as a group. We meet with all of the people that are related to these detentions on Fridays. Every single Friday, we go through every single person who's institutionalized, myself and my staff. And we set up a pretty significant care plan for a person. Sometimes that means that we end up paying for residential costs for them when they come out of the facility. So if they're not ready to actually go back to where their environment was, because, you know, we're concerned that they're just going to end up right back here 24 hours later, we're going to have them go to one of our adult family homes that we have contract with in the community. We pay for about 40-some people at a time to be in those facilities. Other people we bring to our care center. So again, in 2021, we had 563 admissions to our care center. So that's a lot of people that are being diverted. If we feel that the person's environment isn't good, they're coming out of the institute, or they're just not ready to go back, we're going to bring them to our care center, and we're going to keep them there as long as we need to keep them stabilized. So although the number is probably higher than I'd like to think it is, it's not as high as it could be. And I will get you that number for our next meeting. You bet.
Thank you.
How does this procedure or this situation intersect with veteran services?
Yeah, so veteran services, I mean, a veteran certainly can be subject to a Chapter 51 detention. The only difference is oftentimes when we have a veteran that's starting to show that we have signs of some mental health issues, we're going to be working with North Chicago or we're going to be working with Milwaukee facility to try to get them some inpatient mental health treatment. But the state of Wisconsin's laws still apply to a veteran, so if they are someone who we find that's a danger to self or others or is meeting any of those standards, they can be detained under Wisconsin law and brought to one of these institutes. The nice thing about working with the veteran system is even if we have an individual that ends up being detained, there's oftentimes programs for them to enter the minute that they come out of the institute, so we're able to sort of coordinate all of that, moving them along and getting them the support and services that they need.
But if somebody is chaptered, then for sure they have to go to one of yours.
Correct.
They're not going to Milwaukee or North Chicago.
No, they can't.
They can't.
Right, yeah, Wisconsin law doesn't allow that.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, we can move on. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Next on the agenda, Director Jansen will provide information on the State DHS Secretary Timberlake Thank You Tour.
A lot, isn't it? So DHS is the Department of Health Services. We were contacted by Secretary Timberlake's office back in early March, late February, saying that she would like to come to Kenosha to recognize the hard work that was done by Public Health and Rebecca and her staff on some projects during COVID. So she has set up these thank you tours where she's hitting various communities. I think she's hit five or six, and we're next on the list. And what she's recognizing is not only the mass clinics that were conducted, but the outreach that was done. Rebecca's staff worked with health to find vaccinations for 700 homebound people that wanted them. And then we also were doing what Rebecca and them set up as Human Services on the Go last year. So they hit five locations last year around the county, went out to areas out west of the eye. We worked with law enforcement, identified a trailer park that was having issues with overdose stuff, got information out to those folks. We're in the uptown area, downtown, Twin Lakes you're at, correct? So she recognized, you know, saw that as kind of cutting edge, way to get out and meet people where they're at, and just coming to thank us for that. So that'll be on
May 19th,
thank you, a Thursday. At 1 o'clock, we are submitting the list of folks that we'd like to see invited, which will include this committee, and the invitations will come out from the state. So keep a look in your emails, is what I suggest. So we gave your county email address as the email. So if you're able to attend, it's just her getting up and thanking us for the hard work, and then we'll have a couple speakers on our end, and it'll be done in an hour at max. The county center, yeah, because they were looking for a room that could accommodate up to 75 people. So that's probably the best, that auditorium out right in the county center when you walk in. So that's the plan right now. We have a follow-up meeting with them on Friday just to make sure we're still all heading in the same direction. So if anything changes, I'll certainly get an email out to you folks. But I just want you to be aware of that because you hopefully will see an email coming soon from DHS. So that's
it. Any questions on that? Seeing none, thank you very much. That concludes our agenda items for this meeting. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone.
What exactly do you want to see in the COVID-19? Just